It's all the files of the whole park. It tells you everything.
Sir, he's uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
Well, folks, whether you were hashtag resistance or MAGA, he's arrived.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
The 46th President of the United States, Joe Biden. Also, what's he going to do about Russian hackers, big tech, disinformation, Facebook, the NSA, and the CIA? All that and more on this week's episode with Motherboard EIC Jason Kebler and I, Ben Maku. This is Cyber. All right, so Jason, you're back on again, second week in a row, but you know, it's been a particularly political couple weeks, even for the cyber realm.
Am I the politics guy? I don't want to be the politics guy. I just like to be on the show. Thank you for having me back, Mr. Ben. Good to be back. We're recording this in a new era. We have a new president. We're recording this like an hour after the inauguration. So the first cyber of a new administration.
The first cyber of a new administration. And I think it's also important to take a look at what are we facing in the tech cyber realm with this new administration? And obviously we have a few takes on this, but just want to ask you, since you're the editor-in-chief of Motherboard, our tech platform, as we all know. What do you think is gonna, like, do you think Biden is gonna be, like, I mean, he's facing a lot of stuff. There's big questions about big tech and its relationship with disinformation, with whether or not they're too big. Like, where do you think Biden is gonna land on some of these issues?
So I guess just very briefly, I mean, I was not editor-in-chief of Motherboard 4 years ago when Trump was inaugurated, but I was a staff writer here, and I think I took over like early in his administration. And I think going into the Trump administration, we were worried about a handful of different things. We were worried primarily about like climate change and the fact that we thought Trump would wipe a lot of the federal government's websites of different databases that track climate data all over the world, as well as all the scientific information that Trump collects. So, or that the government normally collects. And that is what happened. So there were like all of these archivists who were hustling to protect and archive all of this data. And sort of like the second that Trump took charge, you saw the websites of like NOAA and the White House and NASA suddenly start to lose like all this satellite information 4 years later. And like that barely came up at all. and for good reason. It's like climate change is probably the biggest existential threat to our planet. It is the biggest existential threat to our planet and our species that there is. But we know going into the Biden administration that it's going to be a more normal presidency. And by that, I mean, the second that he was inaugurated, the whitehouse.gov website updated, and it's like a very normal website. It lists like policy positions. It lists climate change as an existential threat. It's like, I think we're going to see a return to a government that believes scientists. Like you heard in the speech, that the Biden administration is taking COVID seriously, that they're going to start like having a mask mandate and take control of testing and vaccine deployment and stuff like this. And so just to start off, I think it's like the Biden administration is going to trust in institutions a lot more. We've seen that already. And I think that is going to filter down through the entire administration, including when it comes to things that are more like less sciencey and more cyber-y. So we saw today that FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, who killed net neutrality, did a whole host of horrible things, is no longer the chairman of the FCC.
A political fight is brewing about access to the internet. The new head of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, wants to clear away regulations about who controls and polices the flow of content on the web.
He was a Verizon lobbyist. He was also appointed by Obama, but he was elevated by Trump. And I was reading earlier today, it's like Motherboard did 150 articles about bad shit that Ajit Pai did over the last 4 years. The FCC can now start like rolling back some of that stuff. I would expect to see net neutrality come back in some way, shape, or form. There was a lot of deregulation just like across everything. So I think we'll probably start to see a little bit more regulation. And I think that that could extend to big tech. But I also think that these companies, like Biden is not going to fundamentally change the status quo. I think he didn't campaign on radical change, although he has been like further to the left than Obama was. And I think in a lot of ways, he is the most liberal president we've ever had. But I don't think we're going to like suddenly see Section 230 modified significantly, or we're going to, I don't think we're going to see like big restrictions placed on Facebook and Google and Microsoft and Amazon like overnight. I think that like the Biden administration, like a lot of the regulators and administration officials from the Obama campaign went to Silicon Valley during the Trump administration, and a lot of them worked for companies like Google, Facebook, Microsoft, Amazon, and now they're coming back into government. So I would expect this administration to be pretty nice to big tech, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Okay, so if I were to look into my crystal ball, I think the company that I would, if I were them, I'd be the most afraid is Facebook. And that's because I think the public tide against it is really turned.
Every week brings new headlines about privacy violations, election interference, or mental health concerns. I haven't been at the company in over a decade, but I feel a sense of responsibility to account for the damage done. Americans have the power to right the ship through government action. We need new regulations. It's time to break up Facebook.
And I think there is some mm-hmm. serious questions about its size and the many different apps that it's gone out and owned. Now, the one that I think is secretly, probably, I mean, not secretly, is the most influential, and I think will only become more powerful under the Biden administration, is Amazon. Because as you and I both know, Amazon also, its cloud services are like one of their biggest clients is the US government.
Right.
So how do you start cracking down on Amazon when it's responsible for some of the most important infrastructure or digital infrastructure that your actual, you know, the actual government is using day to day? And by the way, that includes intelligence agencies are working with Amazon.
Right, and Amazon just became so much more powerful during the pandemic because
absolutely,
you know, people stopped going to stores, and it's like, you know, Bezos's net worth like went up, like shot up ridiculous amounts during the pandemic. And I don't see a clean and easy way to regulate Amazon. I mean, you could imagine like an antitrust investigation against Amazon. We already have the FTC looking into one on Facebook, and it's like those started under the Trump administration, and I think that those will likely continue. But it's hard for me to see any like major backlash to big tech. And I say that for a couple of reasons. I think one, like Biden has inherited a disaster. Like he, you know, COVID is front and center, and it's going to be front and center for the next 6 months to a year. And I think that the administration will use a lot of its like political goodwill to do stimulus and do things that have more to do with like COVID than they do with big tech. And I think one area where you may see some shifting is on gig work. Biden campaigned and mentioned that he wanted to make Uber drivers and gig workers employees, which is sort of the position of Motherboard that we've taken for a long time. But I think that it's going to be difficult. I don't know if it's going to be difficult for him to get it through. I just don't know that that promise was real. And that's something that we're going to continue to be following. Like, is Biden going to make good on his promise to push for full employee status of gig workers, or are they going to try this third way that that California did with AB 5 and Prop 12, Sorry, everyone, prop 12 or 13 or 21. I am blanking on which one it was, but basically the one that Uber and Lyft and DoorDash pushed for, that basically made a third category of employees where they sort of get healthcare benefits, but at the same time, their like pay is lowered and it's just like not a good situation. So I think the labor stuff is going to be really interesting to look at. The climate stuff is obviously going to be front and center for the science focused people on our team. And then the big tech regulation is going to be big for us. I think something that you've been more across is like, what is going to happen with the actual infrastructure of the federal government? We just had this big solar winds hack. So
yes,
what is Biden going to do about that? I think we'll probably see sanctions on Russia, maybe, but I don't know how much further there is to go there. And at the same time, in the stimulus bill for COVID relief, I believe there's money to like rebuild the federal government's infrastructure. And I'm just not sure like what can be done at this point and what sort of timeline that'll happen on. But what's your take there?
Well, I mean, look, like everything's going to take a backseat to COVID because any of these massive plans are going to cost billions of dollars. Because let's just look at this and think, you know, the making the vaccine program a hell of a lot more rapid than it is already, that's going to probably involve like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into these bigger companies like Moderna and Pfizer. So I think when it comes to government infrastructure, that's going to take a backseat. And I think if it comes out of any budget, it'll come out of a DOD budget, and that DOD budget's going to go straight to, you know, Pentagon infrastructure. So I think like,
well, sorry to cut you off. It's like the COVID relief bill that he's proposed has $9 billion in it for, what they call technology modernization within the federal government, like federal IT infrastructure. So it's like, that is part of what he wants to pass from the get-go. It's just a matter of like actually implementing that. Like, when will that happen? How will that happen? Is that enough?
But like, when will that happen and how will that happen when you have to also pay for all this other stuff, right? And I think that, and that's my point, is I think a lot of that's going to take a backseat because, you know, they're going to be sending $2,000 out to every single American. How they're going to then turn around and change the digital infrastructure of the federal government at the same time, on top of like putting more money into the vaccine program itself. I mean, I don't know. Like I'm very skeptical personally.
Right. I think the pandemic has also exposed just how outdated a lot of this infrastructure is, in a way that even like SolarWinds hack, obviously like terrible and sort of showed a huge weakness from the federal government. But then you had like unemployment websites crashing all the time. Like you have all these states who are completely unable to roll out any sort of like vaccine scheduling infrastructure in a way that makes sense, that works, that's coherent. So it's like, I think the datedness of the US government tech infrastructure is very obvious over the last few months.
Oh, it's tremendously obvious. And I think this is something that's a problem with a lot of governments, but I guess like where and when can this happen and when is it going to be urgent? And I think one of the things facing the Biden government, they're going to have to prioritize a lot of these issues. And you know, as well as I do, government doesn't do well with going after several big issues at once. And I think the big one is going to be COVID and COVID relief. And I don't know if government infrastructure is going to fall into that right away. Because I think just the money's not there.
Right. I think the other thing I wanted to talk about with you, and this is more up your alley as well, but it's like, you know, Biden is hiring obviously like new heads of CIA, director of intelligence, et cetera, et cetera.
And this morning, President-elect Joe Biden announced his plan to nominate William J. Burns, a former career diplomat, to run the CIA.
Is it too early to talk about that sort of stuff, or is it just the fact that like Biden is not going to be at war with the intelligence apparatus and thus like probably the government will function more smoothly because he's not going to be giving press conferences where he talks about the deep state and the FBI like undermining him?
So this is something I've been looking into for the last little while. One thing I definitely know from my own sources is that people in intelligence were not very happy with, you know, the last 4 years. I think that's pretty clear. But I think going forward, it really depends on, you know, I remember being told by one source in Signals Intelligence, this is probably 5 years now. They said that if you want to know what we're doing, you should look at what the president says in his initial mandate. So if the first two bullet points are about North Korea and Iran, you can guess that whatever we do, we're pointing it at that. So it'll be interesting to see what he says as his top priority or his top national security priorities are. I mean, if he says it's domestic extremism, that'd be interesting. But I think one of the bigger things for Biden, and it's something we know, is that he was the vice president of Obama. And we know that he's someone who favors light footprint in foreign war zones. So he's not someone that's going to, or at least is unlikely to, start a large scale war, but he is someone who's pro-intervention in a covert way. So I think when you look at that, that means organizations like the CIA and NSA are going to be, I think, pretty active under Biden because, you know, if you look at something like Stuxnet, this happened under the Obama administration that was taking out a nuclear power plant in Iran using malware. And I think, you know, the fact that Cybercom has been, you know, empowered during the Trump administration to be more offensive, and so is the NSA, that I think we can start seeing some of that stuff being, I mean, maybe even more so than under Trump, that, you know, covert operations are going to be something that this administration is really interested. On the other hand, you also have Blinken, who's the State Department head. And Blinken is really well known for being pro-intervention. You know, he's someone who likes intervention. He headed up to Libya. You know, he was a big proponent of the operation in Libya that ultimately helped unseat Muammar Gaddafi and set off what is a still raging civil war in that country. So that means that all the cyber entities that we talk about pretty regularly on the show, I think they're going to be pretty active. I think they're going to be possibly even more active than they were under Trump, because Trump wasn't, you know, he wasn't an interventionist in that way. So I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting few weeks. Also, right before he left office, Trump reinstated or hired the NSA's general counsel. And it's somebody who worked for Devin Nunes. And that's already going to be a bit of a battle. I think ultimately the person's just going to get moved, because you can't necessarily fire someone in the public service like you can, say, in the private sector. So there's going to be some little battles in the national security world that Biden's going to have to wrestle with. And also, the new CIA head is someone who's got a lot of State Department experience, which means he's going to be working in lockstep with Blinken, I think. And like I said, that I think that spells more, you know, covert operation, more interventionism in a quiet way. Because again, like Biden comes from the drone war administration, the robot killers. So I think.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the drone situation as well. It's like Trump, we never talked about drone strikes under Trump, but Trump continued to strike.
Oh yeah,
using drones.
Big time. So big time. And it'll be interesting to see if Biden picks up where, you know, Obama left off.
Well, hackers are going to keep hacking, both government and otherwise. So we'll be here during the Biden administration. And sorry that we couldn't go a little bit deeper into these things, but I think we just wanted to signpost like what we're going to be paying attention to. I have to hop into covering more inauguration stuff. So check out Motherboard if you're listening to this. And otherwise, we will be back next week. Sorry for the punctuated appearance, Ben, but I must go now.
I'm currently
cover some Nazis as well.
Yeah, I'm just steps away from Telegram.
All right, sounds good.
Bye.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, Lorenzo, big news today. I think it's the only news anyone's going to be talking about today, so we'll just quickly say it. We're recording this in the aftermath of Lionel Messi getting a red card for the first time in the history of his career, and he sucks shit, and Cristiano Ronaldo is probably better. Anyway, so let's get to the first story. So this guy is, we mentioned it really briefly in the interview I just had with Jason, but Ajit Pai is pretty much one of the most hated figures, I think, in like cybersecurity circles, to be honest with you.
Yeah, tech policy, like, really tech circles, probably, not just cybersecurity.
I actually don't know if I've ever heard anyone, and I've talked to Republicans in cybersecurity who actually like this guy. I don't think anyone likes him.
Yeah, he was. He's been for years, you know, for 4 years, really, kind of a folk anti-hero, like a folk villain, really, on the internet. Everyone seems to hate him. He didn't do anything to make himself more likable. You know, you may remember him from his very dumb photo drinking from a giant mug when he killed net neutrality. He's also hated because he was a Verizon lawyer and he took over the FTC. The FTC being an insider, an industry insider, which is all kind of fucked up and, you know, has all conflict of interest problems. And Matthew Gall did a really good post with a very long list of everything that Ajit Pai did wrong, which, you know, I didn't even remember some of these. It's like, it's amazing. You know, net neutrality, obviously. He approved the T-Mobile Sprint merger, which is probably not going to be very good for consumers. I mean, I'm just going randomly now. He made up a DDoS attack claiming that that shut down the FCC net neutrality comment system. He's been one of the worst people in the Trump administration. Well, maybe that's not fair, but he's definitely not been one of the best. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, we still have Betsy DeVos, whose brother is a Bond villain, who mercenary, war crimes abetting lunatic who had too much power over.
Yeah, I mean, let me correct myself.
Over the administration. But I will say this. I think I'm going to let this definitely not AP style guide appropriate headline that's been splashed upon this particular article. And just to preface this, this is neither Lorenzo or myself saying this, but this is the headline that was put out by our employer. Gigantic asshole Ajit Pai is officially gone. Good riddance, bracket, time of your life, close brackets.
Cue the song, please. Yeah, I really definitely want to give props to Galt and our editors for approving this, for going for this headline. Clearly not a friend of Motherboard, this Ajit Pai.
Ajit Pai, not a friend of Motherboard, probably not a friend of the show, I'm going to say. Probably would never come on the show.
Yeah, but let us know. We'd be happy to have you. If you're listening, reach out to us, especially now that you're unemployed. Yeah. I'm sure you'll have a lot of free time on your hands.
All right, so now we go to another vaunted cyber type who circled the Trump MAGA crowd that is very disliked in the cybersecurity world. Probably more liked than Ajit Pai, just because he has been an employer of many, many folk in those circles. But Peter Thiel, I know I've caught a bit of shit for not saying his last name properly, especially since my last name is funky to people. But Peter Thiel, he got Trump to pardon this Uber engineer that was sentenced to prison.
Yeah, as many of our listeners will know, yesterday well, really like late last night, you know, sort of like last minute, like someone who didn't really do his homework, Trump put out like 100 and some pardons, and among them,
including Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne. And among them, there was Anthony Lewandowski, who was a former Google engineer who then went to Uber and got ensnared in the whole Google versus Uber trade secrets war. He was the one that stole some patents and like basically Google secrets and gave them to Uber for their self-driving startup that they bought called Waymo. He was sentenced to 18 months this year in prison, and he hasn't even started serving them because of COVID-19. So this means that he got out scot-free, thanks to Peter Thiel, and really a long list of kind of like tech villains. You know, this is the second story we're doing today, and it's another bunch of really bad people, you know, including Peter Thiel, who, as we all know, you know, basically killed Gawker because he was mad about a blog that they did few years before. He's a very, very prominent Donald Trump supporter. Palmer Luckey
also
is involved in this story. Very well known white supremacist and racist. So yeah, if you read this story, it's a great way to remind yourself of all the people that today we're really getting rid of, or at least, you know,
yeah,
they don't have the same influence anymore.
But noticeably. And notably, Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, two people that many wanted to be exonerated, pardoned, weren't.
Yeah, I mean, you have to feel bad for them because they, you know, there's, again, like Trump pardoned like 100 and some people yesterday. He pardoned a bunch of, I think, 20 something a few weeks ago. And, you know, a lot of people thought that both Snowden and Assange would get squeezed in, but for some reason they weren't. I saw yesterday, I have to admit that I don't remember who reported this, but there was a rumor that Trump was worried that pardoning Assange or Snowden would push some senators to vote for impeachment. I don't know. You know, I haven't done any reporting on this.
Yeah, so the theory was that if he pushed for it, McConnell in particular, no longer Senate majority leader.
Yeah, I have to say,
the Republicans.
I'm a little skeptical of this theory. Like McConnell,
I'm not. You know, I think here's the thing. I think he's definitely walking a tightrope on this with McConnell. I think anything McConnell's just looking for a reason to do this.
Yeah, but McConnell has already came out yesterday saying that Trump incited the riots. So I don't know. He's
to be fair here, as per Maggie Haberman, the New York Times reporter, who's really probably broken the most information on Trump in this entire 4 years. She reported that Trump had made that really conciliatory video the night of the impeachment vote in Congress. And it was done with McConnell in mind to basically reinforce to McConnell that he wouldn't be trying any more bullshit. And that sort of remained, that thinking has not left Trump, because I think Trump is particularly nervous that it is going to happen. So I wouldn't be surprised. I would be, you know, I'd be more interested to see what it's going to look like for Biden, mm-hmm, vis-a-vis Snowden. I tend to think he might take a harder line on Snowden. I don't think he's going to ask for extradition like that. I mean, I think they already have, but I think the big one's going to be Assange. I think Biden's going right along with getting Assange to the U.S. if he can, because, you know, not only did Obama not like Assange too much, Biden in particular is a bit of a hawk like that for the IC, and I think he's going to try to get Assange over here.
Yeah, I mean, if Assange had any chances of being pardoned by Trump, I think it's fair to say that was his last chance to be pardoned by a president. I would be very surprised.
Probably, yeah.
Very surprised, mm-hmm, if Biden changes course on that. We'll see about Snowden.
I would be
Snowden,
extremely surprised as well.
We'll see about Snowden, but I wouldn't put money on Biden pardoning Snowden either.
I do too. I think Snowden, like, for many reasons, will get a look by, if it's not Biden when he's on the way out or whoever. I think he'll definitely get this won't be the last time he's in the he's in the old pardon conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think my favorite part of this pardon discussion was Kim.com. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
A little hilarious tweet. Hilarious because there's no way it's true. He said that he claimed that there were senior people in the Twitter administration dangling a pardon in front of him, and he told them that he wasn't interested. It's like, okay, sure. And they said that he wasn't interested unless Assange and Snowden got pardoned too. So, yeah.
Okay, Kim.com is just like one of the craziest figures.
Yeah, Kim, maybe go back to playing video games and stop bullshitting us on Twitter, because this is definitely not true. But thank you for the tweet.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, yeah. Thank you for your service, Kim.com. okay, final question. This is for you, Lorenzo. Mm-hmm. It's the final cipher point we're going to hit is a question for Lorenzo. So you ushered in, you were part of the reporters that really ushered in the Donald Trump cyber era, in that you reported on Guccifer 2.0. You made rest contact. You actually had a rest in peace, wherever it is. I'm sure it's someone who's in a gulag. And you know, that was for something. No, now it's probably 4.5 years. I think that was the summer, but the summer of 2016. But you know, now we're coming to the end of the Trump presidency in the cyber. And what surprised you? What was exactly as predicted, and did you enjoy yourself?
Well, starting from the last one, I did not really enjoy myself in general, because the Trump administration was, a garbage trash fire. And I think in terms of cyber, actually, I was trying to think about it earlier. Like, there wasn't really that much government cyber news in many ways. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is that Trump never really seemed too interested in cybersecurity. On one hand, he was also, you know, trying very hard to never blame Russia for anything, really, especially related to hacking, probably because, you know, in his mind, he thought that if he ever admitted that Russia does hacking, which they do, obviously, he would, like, go against his claim that he won the election without any help from Putin. I'm looking forward to a Biden administration which seems already way more interested in tackling cybersecurity issues. They have announced already a bunch of appointments, like a former NSA, the former TAO director, who's like now back at NSA, and Neuberger.
Yeah, right, the head of the cybersecurity operations.
Yeah, his name is now Rob Joyce. Yeah, so Rob Joyce is back at NSA. Yeah, exactly. Everyone seems to really like him. He's replacing Anne Neuberg, who was at NSA, and now she's going to be at the White House. So I think it's going to be an administration that does more in that sense. And I think it's also going to be interesting to see whether Biden, his administration and his intelligence community and his the NSA and CIA get more aggressive or less aggressive in terms of offensive capabilities. You know, let's not forget that Stuxnet was done during the Obama administration. So
that's exactly what I said on the interview with Jason. I think it's, you know, Biden is pro-intervention, but covert intervention, right? It's like a classic Democratic president. Same thing as Obama. I mean, it's like low footprint, high risk, high reward kind of bullshit. And I think we're in store for some of that, especially when you look at the State Department head, Blinken. I think he's somebody else who's pro-intervention. So it's going to be interesting, you know, does covert intervention increase writ large? And does, like, our footprint decrease? Like, do we actually finally pull out of Afghanistan, et cetera?
Mm. And also, is Biden going to do anything against Russia in the cyber world? I think it's there's been reporting in the last 4 years that, you know, the intelligence community never stopped to work against Russia, but perhaps there would be more public stuff that leaks out, at least.
Agreed. I mean, honestly, you know what the big one on that is going to be? What happens with I mean, Biden is first, his first big geopolitical test is going to be Putin, because there's a major weapons armament treaty that's coming to an end for the first time since like the Clinton or Reagan era in the next 2 weeks. And that's going to be a major bargaining chip between Putin and Biden. But then also the question of Ukraine is going to come up, and Ukraine's kind of been in stasis. And if Biden takes a hard line, you might see that that conflict spark up. And if that happens, then that means everything else surrounding it will spark up, including the cyber. So I think it's going to be an interesting couple months to see exactly how that relationship unfolds.
Yeah, for sure. Looking forward to having more cybersecurity stories and less insane stuff coming out of the White House.
You know, I think it could be just as insane, but we'll see.
We'll see.
It's not happening on Twitter. And like, he won't just like rogue drone strike the top military figure in Iran without anyone seeing it coming. Like, that won't happen.
Yeah.
But we'll see otherwise.
We'll see.
All right. Peace, Lozo.
Thanks, Ben.
Looking for inspiring stories? Listen to the EY Leading Into Tomorrow podcast. It features compelling stories from leaders across government and the public sector who've transformed their organizations and services. From the impact of grants to how digital innovation is reshaping affordable childcare, you'll get actionable insights and ideas that can be used around the world. Download Leading Into Tomorrow by EY wherever you get your podcasts.